We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This is the Six Man Show, an Orlando Magic podcast with your hosts, Luke Sylvia and Jonathan Osborne, covering all things Magic basketball. By fans, for fans. Go Magic. What's going on, Orlando Magic fans? You guys are back with the Six Man Show. Today is May 2nd, 2022. Jonathan Osborne here, as always, joined by my co-host, Luke Sylvia. Luke, what's up? What's up? What's up, bro?
Oh, hey, what's up?
Sorry, my brain is not functioning properly.
Well, it's a big week for me personally. Not that anybody cares, but I'll tell you because you care. I start at my new job tomorrow for a software company, right? Or today as you guys are listening to this. And then in 2 days from now, on Wednesday, Lauren and I will be finding out the gender of our baby. So it'll be a lot of fun. It's a big week. And then we've got a month till we move to Florida. So everything, Lauren has slowly started kind of packing up the house, you know, battling a toddler that's ripping stuff out of suitcases that she's put stuff in already and boxes and all that fun stuff. So it takes a little longer when you have children to pack, as I know that you know all
packing
too well.
Packing sucks, dude.
Yes. So yeah, Lauren's kind of done that through the day. We've got about a month till we move. So we're getting all of our ducks in a row here.
Cool, man. Well, I hope that goes well.
You've got a baby now, so there's
got
that
a baby.
News.
Well, I got another baby now. Another baby now. A little boy that we brought into the world on the 27th. First of all, just really appreciate everybody, you know, kind of reaching out and, you know, kind words and congratulations. It's been awesome, and he's been great so far. Knock on wood, he's been our calmest, best sleeper. Three kids just hits different. I'll say that.
Love my kids, but it's not man to man anymore.
Rough. It's not. But now, like, the girls are going crazy. You know, they're not listening to Carmen earlier. She's like screaming at him. Me and him are in here, and we're just like, bro, these chicks are crazy. Am I right? Mm-hmm. So
you can relate now.
It's been great. Yeah,
you have someone to relate to.
Got somebody to vent to. You know,
right? Just absolutely.
Me and my little man now. So it's been awesome. But yeah. We have a very, very special episode this week for you guys. Dante Marcatelli works for the Orlando Magic and Bally Sports Florida, Bally Sports Magic, covering the team, does all the sideline reporting and post-game, pre-game.
Everything.
You guys know, everyone knows who Dante is, I know. But he was awesome. You know, we talked about this season, looking ahead. Just always great to talk to Dante, have him on the show. Really, really appreciate the time. Before we get to that, though, we do have a couple of housekeeping items as we go through each week. Luke, new look to the show, new logo,
mm-hmm.
new everything.
New offseason, new us.
Yeah, same Mito. Shout out to LaMelo Ball.
same Mito.
Yeah, if you guys like the logo, which a lot of people do, which is a good thing to hear, thesixmanshow.com, you can find some new merch, some shirts, some hoodies, a polo. An embroidered polo, if you're into that kind of thing. If you guys want to grab one of those, always appreciate the support. But we also have a very amazing group of people that help financially support the show every single month, our patrons. And you can find our Patreon at patreon.com/thesixmanshow. We have a brand new patron this month, Luke. Ryan Singh, longtime supporter of the show. He actually came out to our watch party at Friendly Confines at Altamont Springs back in March. It was good to meet Ryan after talking to him on social media for a few years. But big shout out to Ryan. Thank you so much for the support, man. We really appreciate that. And then we also shout out every single one of our patrons each week. So shout out Court Cousins, Drew Gooden, Armin, Keith Garcia, Zico, Carson Tulo, Nathan Lynn, Ellis, Jonathan Borges, Norm L, Magic Player History, Julio, Bailey, Matt Lyman, Eric Segovia, Gabe Gaines, Wiffle, Michael Martin, Jamel Miller, Michael Salapong, and last but not least, Ryan Singh. Thank you guys so much. Coming up on May the 17th, it is a Tuesday. That is going to be the night of the NBA draft lottery. We will be at Harry Buffalo, downtown Orlando. Make sure that you guys come and hang out. We're putting together some pretty cool things, some trivia, some giveaways. We're even giving away a free autographed Franz Wagner Orlando Magic jersey. So if you guys want to be interested in winning that, make sure that you guys come out to the draft party or the lottery party. It was a lot of fun last year. It's going to be even more fun this year. We're trying to do it bigger and better. And hopefully we end up with a top pick, which would be really great. And speaking of the lottery, the last thing that we're going to do, Luke, before we get into the interview with Dante Marcatelli, we're going to go through our weekly Tankathon, tankathon.com, where you can sim the NBA draft lottery, see how the Magic end up. If you need a reminder, the Magic do have a 52.1% chance of ending up in the top four. They have a 14% chance of ending up number one overall, and the Magic can fall as low as sixth in the lottery order. I'm going to go ahead and sim the lottery now, and the Magic end up with the sixth freaking pick, with the Spurs jumping up eight spots to number one, the Knicks of all teams jumping up nine spots to number two, and the New Orleans Pelicans receiving the pick from the Lakers to jump up five spots to number three, and Detroit jumped to number four to end up with the fourth pick, Houston Rockets at five, and then the Magic at sixth.
Lovely.
We do this every week, and I do this most days. I haven't done it the last few days with reasons. But, We just end up sixth way too much for my comfort. It's really going to suck if that's the case.
Yeah, I'd rather not, to be honest with you.
You know, it's really just a miracle that we didn't fall to sixth last year. We were in the exact same, position, basically.
Yeah.
And you end up at five, two teams skipping ahead there. But, yeah, I mean, it is what it is at this point. Hoping for some better results the actual night of the lottery. I'm just looking forward to the day that we're recording this and I get the number one pick on the live recording of the show. Because that has not yet happened, I believe. I think we've gotten two a few times, three, but we haven't gotten one yet.
No. Most of the time it's five and six, it feels like.
Yeah, it does feel like that. So, all right, folks, we are going to now get into the interview with Dante Marcatelli.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, Orlando Magic fans, we are now joined by a very special guest, Bally Sports Florida broadcaster Dante Marcatelli. Dante, thanks for coming back to the show, man. How are you?
I'm doing great, man. How are you guys? Who's the special guest?
Come on now, Dante.
I'm happy to be with you guys, but I can't wait to meet this person. Let's go.
You have a lot more clout, as the kids say, around Orlando Magic fans that I think you understand.
It's the star of this segment. You might have heard of it. A Moment with Dante.
I love that. Yeah. It's no Is This Anything, but it's we've had fun. We've had fun putting that together. I appreciate it.
I don't know. This season it was definitely one of the highlights of the broadcast for me. The product on the floor was not.
It was tough. This was a long year. It was a hard year, but I think we kind of all knew it was going to be, right? I think we kind of knew it had the potential kind of going down this road that we could take our lumps this year, and I think we did. We certainly did, but I think a lot of positive things came out of it, and I think they'll be better off for it. Now we find out here in a couple of weeks how good it was to go down this road, right? When we come up to the draft lottery.
Well, last year we found that it wasn't quite as good as we had hoped. I mean, It's kind of hard to argue with the results, the two young guys that we ended up with. But the night of the lottery was definitely didn't go the way that we had wanted it. But Dante, you mentioned that there were, we suffered our lumps and we took our medicine, as they say. But there definitely were some bright spots to the season for the Magic. To you, what was the biggest surprise for the Magic this season?
Man, I think that's a good question. I think one of my favorite things about the season was Markel Fultz coming back. I think that to me was, but I don't know that that was a surprise, right? Because I think we knew once he got out there on the floor, we know Markel can play. Just is he going to be healthy? Is he going to be able to end the season on his terms? So I don't know that we were as surprised by his great play. I don't know what we expected out of Franz, right? I mean, I just don't know. That we thought he had a chance to be a solid role player. We thought he had a chance to, be in the mix, be a solid starter, be a contributor on this team. I don't think we had any idea he'd be a candidate for Rookie of the Year. I don't think we had any idea that for probably several months he'd be our best player, hands down our best player on the floor, right? So I don't think, to me, he was the biggest surprise. We saw a little bit out of Wendell Carter last year to be like, okay, this guy can play and maybe he can get up to 12, 13 points a game and 9 rebounds. He went 15 and 10, right? So he had himself, I thought, a fantastic year. But to me, you didn't know what you'd get out of Suggs. And, he had his ups and downs. And I thought after the injury, he was much better. But to me, the guy that was consistent from start to finish, and me, I didn't follow him in college. I literally knew nothing about him. 8th overall pick. They said, everyone said he's a guy that's probably not going to do one thing really, really well, but does everything well, but doesn't really excel at one thing. He excelled at everything, in my opinion. So that for me was it, Franz Wagner.
Dante, what did you think of the Rookie of the Year finalists and Franz being omitted from that? How did you feel about that?
I had a big problem with it, but I think we got to go back to why, how we do this thing, right? Because obviously wins and losses come into it. If you don't factor wins and losses into it, his numbers are comparable with anybody. So certainly he's right there in the running. So now you're saying, okay, Franz Wagner as a rookie couldn't get this team to 35, 40 wins. Well, how can he? Mm-hmm. I mean, if you were to swap Franz Wagner out, and again, this is no knock on Scotty Barnes or Evan Mobley or Cade Cunningham, if the roles were reversed and you put those guys on this team, probably going to have similar numbers to what they had now. It might even be worse, in my opinion. So I think all of those guys are playing with all-stars, are playing with, they were on playoff teams, two of them, Scotty Barnes, who wins it. If Scotty Barnes doesn't have the luxury of playing with Siakam, Van Vliet, Ananobi, does he put up the same numbers? So I think it's skewed the way they look at it. I don't think the national media is watching the Magic, and I understand, they win 22 games, so they're not paying attention. But if you're going to vote, You have to be as versed on Franz Wagner as you are on Evan Mobley and Scotty Barnes. You have to do your research, and to me, they didn't do it. Not to say he should have won it, because we feel he should have won it here in Central Florida, but he should have been a finalist, and he should have been in the running. In my opinion, top three easily, and I think he was as valuable as any of those guys.
And I think, Dante, the other thing that, you said, obviously the Magic just didn't have the wins for Franz to be up there. But Jonathan mentioned this recently, and it's no secret, right? Cade Cunningham, the number one pick overall. His team has one more win. I mean, Franz, his statistics, Franz obviously could have made an argument for himself. But because he was the eighth pick and not the first pick, you see him not get that love either. So take wins out of the equation, and it's just the stereotypical, he's the number one pick. So, do we put the eighth pick in or him? And it's it's a no-brainer. We're going to put him in there. But like you said as well, Dante, you put these guys on the Magic. Is the record the same? It might be worse, just how these guys play. Cade definitely needs the ball, right? When he is one day a star, it's going to be because he is that guy that just demands the ball. He's going to get to the basket. He can facilitate just fine. All of those things. But with Franz, you see him making backdoor cuts, getting himself open. I mean, exceptional cutter for a rookie especially. And, doing things that just makes him a team player. And I think that's a good point, too. I think that, absolutely.
Yeah, and I think those guys, and not to say those other guys are selfish, because they're not. Right. I think they're all, I think it's a great crop. I think it's an unbelievable draft class. Mm-hmm. But Franz is so unselfish, and I think he could have put up numbers. He could have shot the ball more. He could have forced it more. Yep. And, if he was after points, if he was after whatever statistics, but that's not his game. He's out there to win and make the winning play. And I think if he had, you look at his assists are down. Well, if guys made shots, the last year, 29th or 30th in field goal percentage and three-point percentage. There's a lot of guys on this team that could have had a lot more assists, Markel being one of them. It just if we struggle to make shots this year. So he was penalized for that. So those numbers aren't as high as they could have been. But I think not knowing what to expect from him and coming in, if you were just to take all the records out of it, you have Scotty Barnes has those, he has those highlight reel dunks. He's had big plays. He plays on both ends of the floor. Well, so does Franz. And I think you can hide behind, Scotty Barnes helped the Raptors make the playoffs. And he did. No question about it. He's an unbelievable talent. And maybe he deserves to be Rookie of the Year. I have no problem with that. But Franz, he should have been in the equation. And at least, he'll make all rookie team. And I think that's an unbelievable feather in his cap. But he should have been one of the finalists, in my opinion.
So if he doesn't make the rookie team, we're all jumping in Dante's car, driving to Secaucus to the league office, knocking
that
on the door.
An enormous problem with because then you gotta redo the whole thing as far as who does the voting, right? I mean, I think you have to do that. But you can hide behind the wins and losses. And Cade Cunningham, as you mentioned, Luke, he's number one pick, so he's going to get all the notoriety. So if you have to choose between Cade or Franz, you're going to go with the number one pick. But all of this being said, the fact that he's in the conversation, the fact that we're talking about it, the fact that he was at the rookie challenge, I think that was, it just all bodes well for the Magic future. I mean, you had Cole Anthony there. You had Jalen Suggs there. The Magic were well represented in the Rising Stars Challenge. I think that bodes well for the future, and Franz is a huge part of that.
Cade Cunningham averaged 30 more touches a game, averaged 2 more points than Franz. I just want to throw that little last tidbit out there before
we move
on.
I know. Well, he's handling the basketball, and his assists are up, and his rebounds are up. I think Franz will do a better job of rebounding next year, but he shot better. He had better percentages than him. He was one of the best free throw shooters of any rookie. And then you look at, David Steele did a couple of, we mentioned Is This Anything. He did a couple of Is This Anythings where there was 4 or 5 categories, and the only one that was in all of them was Franz. I mean, you can, as we know about analytics, you can make the numbers work to wherever you want to.
We do it all the time.
Exactly. You have to do it. But he was very productive. And then I look at it like this. Okay, that team won 22 games, so how much of an impact did Franz have? Franz wasn't there. They might win 12, right? I think he was such a critical part of this team's success, and there were a couple of wins that could have been had that got away. So you got to really think about how they determine these things. And you make the same thing about MVP, right? When we hear that and all these, what is it? What are we actually voting on? But it's good to have a guy that's in the conversation, and hopefully, this time next year we've added another one that's in the conversation.
I want to ask you, Dante, every time we wake up and it's Magic game day, obviously you're prepping. You're doing far different things than I'm doing, right? I'm just thinking emotionally about the game. I'm not preparing notes by any means. But in the same respect, I wake up and I'm like, man, I can't wait to watch X player play tonight for the Magic, right? Like, we all have those players in our head.
Don't say X player. Just say Wendell.
Okay, I was getting that.
For Luke, so, it's Wendell.
Mine is Wendell, right? So, but I want to know, Dante, for you, who's the guy that you, like, you wake up, you know that it's Magic game day, you're prepping your notes. Who is the guy that you are most excited about to watch take the floor? Did it change throughout the season for you? Kind of what did you think about that?
That's a great question, because I think when the season started, for me, it was Cole. Mm-hmm. And not that I still go into every game. He can have one of those games where he just takes over, and he's such a dynamic player, and he doesn't lack for confidence. He has supreme confidence, and he wants the ball in his hands, and he wants to be great, and he has no problem taking the last shot, the big shot, come what may, if he makes it or misses it. And I think that guy, you know, and he had times this year. With the injuries, that he never quite regained what he had at the beginning of the season. But when he started the year and came out of the gates 27-5, I mean, that was electric. I mean, he was playing fantastic basketball, as good as anyone. You know, he was the best player on this team to start the season, probably for the first month or two. And then injuries kind of came along, and, you know, at times he was forcing it, and at times the shot wasn't falling, and he was trying to get back. So I was, what's he going to do today for me, right? He has the big game in New York, right? That was unbelievable. You win. He's got his mom sitting courtside on her birthday. I mean, it was like movie type stuff. Mm-hmm. So for me, it was that first month and a half. I really enjoyed what he was bringing to it. And then obviously he's always great to talk to. But then you're right, Luke, I'm with you. It shifted to Wendell, where it became, man, this guy, you know, and Franz is in there too. And, you know, Jalen had his ups and downs. Then he got hurt. But it became, you know, this Wendell isn't afraid of anybody. And he won me over for life when he asked Coach Mosley if he could just guard Joel Embiid straight up. You know, I appreciate you sending double teams, and, you know, and if I get screened, maybe. But there was a certain point during that game against the Sixers where he just yelled, no more, no more. I got him. I got this. And I thought, you know, I get to stick my head in those huddles. And I was like, man, oh, this I got goosebumps. I'm like, this guy's a gamer, like the ultimate gamer. He does it. He wants it. He feels he can shut him down by himself, and he did. And that was that was a big reason that they were in that basketball game and should have won before it went to overtime. But I just love his competitiveness.
Yeah, and Dante, you mentioned, you know, him, you know, Wendell basically saying, I don't want the doubles anymore. I got it, right? And that's the type of player you want. And you don't, maybe some people don't realize kind of the, I don't know if it's an ego or what it is, but Joel Embiid and Draymond Green, Joel was on Draymond's podcast, I believe, sometime recently. And Draymond was talking about locking up Joel Embiid. And Joel said, yeah, whatever. I mean, why don't you just stop calling for doubles? And we'll, you know, then we can talk pretty much. Yeah, and Draymond, of course, you know, refuted that and was like, I don't call for doubles. I don't do that. So it is interesting. Like the who's who of defensive players, they kind of like stars around the league note that, right? Like if you call for doubles, you're a little weaker than this other guy. And so it is refreshing that Wendell is essentially just manning up to the point where, you know, I'm earning my stripes. And this is what I'm going to do. I don't want any help. So that's,
well,
said
it.
Incredible.
You said it. Man up, right? I mean, man up. That's what I grew up in the age where it was, you know, these guys were clotheslining each other and knocking them down. And, you know, it was physical. You took pride on the defensive end, and you didn't want to let your man score. He's a throwback. He's one of those guys. And, you know, not to say the others aren't, but he does it different. And he wants to do it on his own. And I think, so you've got that. You've got that heart, that competitive fire on the defensive end. And then what we got from him offensively, I don't know that we expected that to this level, right? And I think, you know, 15 and 10, and then you throw in the assists and the three-point percentage, and it's like four guys in the league that put up those numbers. So now you know, okay, can this guy be an 18, 19-point-a-game guy? You know, and then you look at, you know, he's getting locked up. He's locked up for the next 3 or 4 years. I mean, that's an incredible job
at
by this front
price.
Office. Right, exactly. You know, to help the rest of your team, and so he became both ends of the floor, and then he found his voice at some point this year, right? So he's talking to the guys in the locker room, and, you know, talk to him at halftime, and he's like, "I'm fixing to go in here and tell him, we got to be better than this. You know, he kind of, so he became a voice in the locker room as well. He's a leader. He's a winner. And we got him here for a while. And I think that guy's Magic fans are going to love Wendell.
We just got to find some goggles.
I don't know why we can't get the goggles right.
Yes.
How do we not get the guy that can't stay on his face? Then they break. He didn't like him at first, but he ended up, I think he warmed up to him. And next year he said he's going to have all different colors and sizes. I mean, he's going to be off the rails with
Horace,
probably a little
the
bit
Horace
next year.
The Horace goggles.
Yeah, yeah.
We got to get like that.
It. In fact, he wants to talk to Horace to find out what he used.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
I think is great. Yeah,
I would love that.
That's cool.
Dante, I wanted to switch gears just a little bit. I don't know how much you pay attention to Orlando Magic Twitter and social media and kind of the rivalry that has grown between Magic fans and Raptors fans, kind of spurring from last year's draft. You were at the draft, you know, the party at Amway when Scottie Barnes was selected number 4 overall by Toronto, and Magic fans just erupt now knowing that we are going to get Jalen Suggs. You're telling everybody, just calm down, just calm down. Just, do you see any of that? And what do you make of Raptors fans just being so salty about the Magic being excited to draft Jalen Suggs?
Okay, well, you'll have to catch me up because I'm not familiar with it at all.
Dante,
so you'll have
we
to,
get,
it's good for your mental health if you don't know, but yeah.
Twitter okay, mentions, okay. YouTube comments daily, Raptors fans coming back to mock Magic fans being excited when Scottie Barnes was selected by the Raptors and then celebrating when Jalen Suggs was taken number 5 overall.
Yeah, well, you have to go back to that day, and you have to realize, like, we were all driving to the arena thinking Scottie Barnes was the guy. Like, there's no way Jalen Suggs is going to be there. And, you know, to me, it's more of, you know, you end up getting Franz Wagner. So you have Franz and Scottie Barnes, two guys that, you know, kind of play the same position, right, ideally. So you think about that. But they had forwards. We needed a pit bull. We needed someone on the perimeter to guard. We needed a guy that could be a scorer. We needed a guy with the ball in his hands. And I think that's a... So that was kind of when Scottie Barnes was off the board, it was more of not only because of who Jalen Suggs is, but it was a position of need. Like, we needed that position, and we needed him. And then seeing what – he's just coming off playing in the national championship game. I saw 45 minutes of Scottie Barnes. I had no idea what the guy was capable of, right? But we knew Jalen Suggs. We saw the whole run. The only game he lost was to Baylor in the national championship. So we knew all about him. We knew his athleticism. We knew his fire, his competitive spirit. And listen, it was a year that was, you know, that had ups and downs for that. But I think, you know, as far as Toronto fans go, it's easy to talk when you know, Scottie Barnes was brought in and he was able to fit in. You didn't have to ask a ton of him, right? Because he contributed. He had a great year. He's a terrific defender. If we had Scottie Barnes, he'd have been great here too. He's a terrific competitor. He seems to be a great kid that's all about the right things. But for us, I just felt like, you know, it was a great fit. And to have a guy with a little more publicity, national exposure with Jalen Suggs. But, you know, listen, they can talk about that now, but you know, I think Jalen Suggs is going to come back with a vengeance, and very quickly the tables are going to turn, and I think Magic fans are going to be able to have their say, because obviously the whole story has not been written yet on Jalen Suggs, and I say watch out for the league next year. I really do.
You're telling me exactly what I want to hear, Dante. Can you just continue with that? Can you tell me what you think of Jalen Suggs?
Yeah.
What we might see out of Jalen Suggs year two?
Well, he's a competitor. See, first and foremost, like, the guy will not quit. He is relentless in his pursuit, and he will not stop until he improves every weakness in his game. So he'll go over game film. He'll pour over game film. I guarantee you he's been in the gym since the season ended, and he's working on everything that he perceives as a weakness and so at least something that he needs to strengthen. And I think, you know, shot selection, that was a big thing for him. When to shoot, when to facilitate, when to drive, when to set up for my teammates. Do I settle for threes or how to get to the basket? That was a huge priority for him. And he just completely recommitted himself when he was out 6 weeks with the fractured thumb. And then he still had another couple injuries that kept him in and out of the lineup. But it was a guy that was starting to figure it out right before he got hurt. And I think he's going to continue to weigh that balance. Now I think if you got him playing with Markelle Fultz all summer, going into training camp and starting the season and taking those lead point guard responsibilities off of his plate, now they can play off each other. He can bring the ball up. Markelle can bring the ball up. You know, but next year, if it's Markelle and Jalen Suggs out there together, and I don't know who it will be next year, but Think about how much less pressure he's going to have on him than coming into it this year. Hey, by the way, here you go. Now the basketball is in your hands. So I think it's he's got a year under his belt, and he's too much of a competitor. And already, you know, you talk about, you know, Scottie Barnes and all that all you want. They look at the offensive numbers, and he's a great defender. Jalen Suggs is by far the best defender on the team. He's one of the best perimeter defenders in the game already. You know, so that's only so you've already got that. If nothing else, that's a phenomenal person to have in your backcourt. And then once he figures it out offensively, you know, I think the you know the sky's the limit for this guy.
So I want to ask you, Dante. We had Dan Savage on the show last week. A great time as always with Dan. I asked him. I said, Dan, going into next year, what are your expectations? Or maybe not what are your expectations, but what do you think the ceiling of this team is with a, you know, fully healthy roster, right? Yeah. This all rides on the ifs, ands, and buts. And the biggest one being, can the Magic stay healthy? And not only can they stay healthy, can they come into the season healthy? You got question marks with Jonathan Isaac. Is he going to be who, right. You know, is he going to be back opening night? We hope. Is he going to be the same player? We hope. But yeah, kind right. of what, in terms of obviously your opinion plays a role here of what you think J.I. will be, whatever it might be, but kind of what is the ceiling for this team going into next year?
Well, can they be Cleveland? Can they catch lightning in a bottle? Can they add a key veteran? Can they you know strike lightning here in the draft and mm-hmm. add a guy that just fits? You know that was something that we thought this year. Could we? You know, you expect them to struggle and to get the pile up losses, and when you play young guys, that's typically what happens. But the caveat was, or could this thing gel quicker than we think? You know, could we stay healthy? Could we gel? And we saw signs, certainly, when this team had its full complement, what it's capable of doing. You know, and then the last 10, 15 games of the season was simply about getting a look at other guys. So you kind of lost all of those games there towards the end. But I think if you're fully healthy and now you're coming in and now Franz and Jalen have a year under their belt and they kind of know what to expect. And now if this guy meshes, whoever you draft here, could be, you know, it's going to be top six for sure, but could he be one, two, or three? Could you get one of those top three guys? And then how well does he hit the ground running? Do you have success like Mobley or Barnes did or Cade Cunningham this year? Then could you be in contention? Could you be battling for a play-in spot or maybe find a way to get seven or eight? I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility at all. Can they be a lock and get five or six in the playoffs? Anything's possible, depending on who you add. But I don't think they're ready to make that jump yet. But can they, with some luck, with some health, can they be competing for that ninth or tenth spot in the Eastern Conference? I think you'd take that if you're a Magic fan, just being in contention. I think you're all in on it this year, trying to pile up as many wins as you can. And I think they could be in that battle for sure.
Dante, you mentioned the draft, and we won't ask and get into specific prospects, but what do you think your philosophy is heading into the draft? Are you looking for the Magic to fill a particular area of need, or are you just looking to draft best player available?
Well, for me personally, I mean, this is why I'm not in the draft room, because I would come in there and say, I would watch everybody, and I would say, who is the best shooter? I don't care about anything else. I need a guy that can step on the floor and repeatedly knock down open shots. That's my guy. I don't care if he's 5'8 or 7'8. I don't care. I don't care about any of that other stuff. To me. But that's why I'm not making those decisions. So I do think they value that. And you heard Jamal Mosley, I think it was the last pregame press conference of the season, where he said shooting, shooting, shooting. All year. I mean, all offseason. That's what these guys are going to be working on. And I think that's obviously, for us, that is a huge, huge area of need. And something that I needs to be addressed in some capacity, whether it's internally, whether it's through the draft or through free agency, but you've got to add some shooting. So for me, the guy, yeah, it's great if he can do all the other things, and you want a guy that can defend his position and multiple positions and rebound, and it'd be great if he had length and he was this and that. But to me, can the guy shoot? And I think mm-hmm. If it was me, but I'm not calling those shots. And you know, I would have taken Luka Garza with the first overall pick last year because of the season that he had. But so that's why they don't ask me. But that is a huge need for us. They don't go by need. They will take the best player that is on the board, the person that they feel is the best player. And I, you know, you can, there's a number of ways to address your needs. So if you don't get that particular piece in the draft, then you have to attack it with free agency or trades or whatever. But that to me is what I would go for, but I guarantee you they'll take the best player. And if the best player available is the best shooter, then even better. And I think you've really landed something there.
Well, Dante, I have one more question for you here before we let you go and kind of start to wrap up. But I wanted to ask, obviously last season, you know, with COVID and restrictions of media and things like that, these two seasons looked a little bit different for you, yeah. I'm assuming. So kind of what was that adjustment like getting back into what you were used to, and did you realize how much you missed it until it was taken from you during that COVID season? Like, what was this season like for you, kind of adjusting back to reality a little bit?
You know what? It was an eye-opener when we had to finish the games in the bubble, right? So we played those 8 games and then made the playoffs against Milwaukee. So we weren't there. And now you're calling it off a monitor and you're in an empty, cold arena with everybody playing at the Disney bubble and no fans. And that was... You know, we know how much the fans mean and how valuable the fans are to this entire operation. We get it, how valuable they are to the team. But to us, the energy that we get every single night off the fans is what we live for. That's why we do this. And when we didn't have that for those 8 games and then on to the playoffs, it just further cemented that. I don't think we ever lost sight of what the fans meant or how hard it would be. Mm-hmm. Then the next year you could have a few back. So now it's 1,500 and then it was 4,000. And those 4,000 sounded like 50,000 when you had an empty gym and you go to that. You know, so that was great to have that back. And then just to be able to mingle and interact with a couple fans on a game night was great. And then this past year, you know, having the arena, we had a lot of we had a lot of sellouts. We had a lot of big nights in Amway Center for a team with 22 wins that won 12 games in their home building. To have the turnout that we had, I mean, Orlando showed out this year. It was awesome. It was great to see. And when they came, they were loud. Ends of games were phenomenal that last quarter of the season. So I think that interaction, that gave us fuel, and we certainly lived off of that. And you appreciate it now more than you ever did. And then it was strange for me. It did go back to normal, but then I didn't travel. I didn't travel with the team. So every road game, I went to Tampa into our studio. So that was another adjustment, but that was great. And, you know, the people that worked that studio were fantastic. But having fans back, being able to interact with them, and at the end of the season, not having to wear a mask and see all the smiling faces. And we did my last moment of the season. We had about 20 or 30 fans all around the desk. And that was probably one of my highlights of the season, you know, getting to show everybody and the excitement in the building. So that's what does it for us. And, you know, we never lost sight of that, but it was drilled home even more, certainly, these last couple of years.
Dante, a couple of quick questions before we wrap up here. We know you're a big Tom Brady guy. I just wanted to ask you, what was the day that Tom Brady retired? What was that day like for you? Was it a day of mourning? And then what was it like like 20 seconds later when he unretired?
Yeah, right. It was crushing. It was crushing because you know it could happen any year, but I just never thought this year for some reason. The last 6 years, I thought he was going to retire. And this year, I said, well, he's not going to retire now. He just won a Super Bowl. And when he loses and doesn't make it to the Super Bowl, he always wants to come back. I think he'll retire after he wins it, but not off a loss. So I just thought, you know, he'll be back, no problem. And then to hear he was retiring. But then the way he did it, it just kind of left a... I just thought he'd be back. Not this soon. I thought he'd be back. I've said since he left he's going to come back and be a Patriot. So at some point in his career, I couldn't be more wrong about that. Turns out it might have been Miami, if anything. But then we're getting ready to go on air. I think it was halftime. I forget what game it was on. We can look up the date, I'm sure, and see. Literally 30 seconds before I'm about to go on air, and there's a couple of Magic fans right outside the desk, and they go, Dante, look at this. Tom Brady's coming back. And I'm like, come on. Yeah, right. That's how I found out. Like, they yelled it to me 30 seconds before we went on air. And I'm like, there's no way. And then I see him freaking out as we're kind of going over highlights, and I'm kind of glancing out of the side of my eye. And I just couldn't believe it. I just couldn't believe that he was back. And then it's crazy how we got there. But I love it. I just think it's great when our heroes can keep playing. You know, and he's not had the decline yet. Like Peyton Manning, Brett Favre, like all these guys kind of fell off a cliff in that last year. He's not had that. So why not? Keep going.
One more football one. We know you're a Liberty alum. Malik Willis drafted to the Titans. What do you think of that?
I think it's a great situation for him, but I'm gutted for him that he was in the green room And, you know, expecting to go there in the first round. You know, the only other Liberty player that was taken in the first round was Eric Green, a tight end. Steeler fans and maybe Dolphin fans would remember him in the early 90s. He lives here in Central Florida. And I texted him. I said, you're about to have some company here, right? And then he texted back after the first round ended. And he's like, man, I'm crushed. I really wanted some company. You know, so he's still the only guy, unfortunately. But I thought it'd be the first 10 picks of the second round. But to see him go all the way till the end of the third round, I couldn't believe it. I know, you know, it's our schedule, and we don't play, obviously, the iron of the NCAA. But still, I think the guy can play, and the scout day was incredible that he put on. He's got a cannon. He can run. He can do everything that you want out of today's quarterback. So I don't understand why he fell, but now we can watch. Right, for Tannehill, when Tannehill falls apart 6 weeks into the season, maybe he gets a chance. Or ideally, he gets to watch for a year or two, and then he can take over. Right. But I think it's a great fit. I love Mike Vrabel, being a former Patriot, obviously. But I think it's a great spot for him.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Dante, for taking the time. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. So, you know, generous of your time always with Magic fans and with us in particular. So,
of course.
Really, really appreciate it, man.
What are we doing on the 17th? Can we get something on the books here?
I didn't want to bring it up, but yeah, we're going to be at Harry Buffalo again. I know of your colleagues won't be available to make it that night, but will we see Dante Marcatelli at the Harry Buffalo?
A repeat performance? Here's my only thing. It didn't go well for us.
That's accurate. That is accurate.
Okay, do we entertain a different venue, or do we say can't happen twice in a row?
Well, we've got, I mean, how many RSVPs do we have, Jonathan?
We've got over 100 RSVPs, so we'll be at Harry Buffalo.
Well, this is on. You guys are doing
We'll be
this.
At Harry Buffalo. Yeah.
Well, then I'll be there. Then I'll see
awesome.
You there.
Awesome. Well, that yeah, we're hoping it's that it,
we're
it
not
goes
on the,
well.
We're not on the top floor this time. We're going bottom floor.
Okay.
So maybe the shift and altitude will help us a little bit there.
You guys, let everybody know. I mean, tell them to come out there. How fun was that last year?
It was incredible.
You guys put together a great setup. That was a lot of fun to
Thank
see.
You. Thank you. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. And then the with the storms, you know, the TVs went out right before the lottery started. That was probably a bad omen. So hopefully we'll get some better weather this time, you know, and the lottery balls will bounce our way.
I didn't get to go because I live in, right now I'm currently in Nebraska, but I am, you know, making the move back to Florida, as our listeners know, in June. My wife and baby are moving back. And so on draft night, Dante, I'm hoping that I'll, you know, I'll be able to see you and get to see you. It's been a little bit since I've been able to. So
awesome,
being back,
man.
You know, whatever happens on draft night in terms of, you know, if the Magic do something, whatever it is, I'll be looking forward to hopefully being able to see you, and I'll get to see Jonathan for the second time in my life. So that'll be cool as well.
Isn't that something? Well, you guys do a great job, man. You really do, and I think it's great to see how your voice has risen these last couple of years, and how you guys have really knocked out a nice little following, and you guys do it the right way. So it's fun to see. And listen, if I can tell you anything. I heard this from Pat Williams a long time ago. People don't move to Nebraska. They move out of Nebraska. So you're doing the right thing. You're doing the right thing coming back. So congrats on that.
Well, thank you again, Dante. We really appreciate you taking the time, man. Come back anytime.
You got it. See you guys.
Thank you. That was Dante Marcatelli. Dante, as always, awesome to hear from you. Awesome to have you on the show. And you heard it from Dante. He is going to be at Harry Buffalo May 17th, the night of the draft lottery. So make sure you and your grandma and your cousin and your sister's cousin and everybody and whoever else is at the draft lottery. If you're coming, just let us know so we can let Harry Buffalo know that you're coming. That is just really always pretty helpful so they know how many people to prepare for. But yeah, Luke, anything else before we sign off here?
Oh, I think that's about it.
Well, once again, Dante, thank you so much for taking the time. Always great to have you on the show. You are welcome back literally anytime. Keep killing it. Keep doing everything that you're doing. But for Luke Sylvia, this has been Jonathan Osborne. You guys have been listening to The Sixth Man Show, and we will catch you guys next time. See ya. Thanks for listening to The Sixth Man Show. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, and Stitcher to get new episodes downloaded directly to your phone. Please take a minute to give us a 5-star rating and a review. It would really help us out a lot. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Sixth Man Show and like us on Facebook. We'll catch you guys next time. Go Magic.
Have you heard about the 2018 study that showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? No? Well, now you have. I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual, the company making traceability the new standard in the supplement industry. I remember staring at my prenatal vitamins and finding all these things I was trying to avoid: high amounts of heavy metals, synthetic colorants, and unnecessary ingredients. So, at 4 months pregnant, I quit my job and started Ritual, because I believe that all women deserve to know what they're putting in their bodies and why. I'm so proud of our prenatal vitamin. The ingredients are 100% traceable, it's third-party tested for microbes and heavy metals, and recently received the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. You see, we trace like a mother because, let's be honest, no one cares quite like a mother. But don't just take my word for it. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.